Hi, and welcome to Living Word Northwest's podcast. We are so glad that you're here. Our goal at Living Word is to reach people, touch lives, and make a difference. Our hope is that this week's message encourages you and those listening with you. Remember, God wants to connect with you on a personal level, and we don't think it's an accident that you're here. If you or someone like you needs help along that journey, we are here for you. Stay tuned after this message on how to connect with us, but for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's sermon.
I'm excited about Sean Miller, who's here this morning. Wait, hold your applause. It's going to be thundering, Sean. Just hold it. Hold your applause. He's a marriage and family therapist, and not only that, but Sean has... I can tease people because I wear this fancy microphone, but he actually is a licensed alcohol and drug counselor with years of experience with alcohol and drugs. So I'm not teasing him, because if you hear this guy's testimony, dear Lord, this guy is an animal. I love him. I love him. And I love you too, Ashley. I'm so glad that you guys are here this morning.
Yes.
But we're not just going to be discussing those things. Amen. We're discussing relationships and connectivity and heart matters, because sometimes knowing the heart of God is knowing this heart right here. Amen, church. And so, I want to just kind of jump right into things with Sean. So can you help me just welcome him to Northwest this morning? Come on up here, brother. Thank you so much for being here. Hallelujah. This is how you know who has the education. Hold up your...
So I have to apologize right off the bat, because as we were getting ready this morning, our printer went out. So yeah. I was going to be bringing some pages with me, but instead...
He brought his flat screen TV.
I was going to say, I brought this 4-foot screen. I've deactivated all of the screen timeouts, but if you see me holding it up, it's looking for face recognition. I'm not taking a selfie.
I love it. No, it's because you got so much information, man. This guy is a wealth of knowledge, and he's a volunteer here at Northwest. So it's, I love the diversity of gifts that God has brought into this campus. So not just knowledge, not even just knowledge through experience, but the wisdom of God. This is a man that operates not just from the books that he's read, but through the experiences that he's had and through the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. And that's the kind of help that I want. Amen? Because I'll go pay somebody else just to tell me what's wrong with me. I want the Lord to speak to me as well. Amen. But I also love the science and the psychology between what is about what's going on inside of me, because I think it's important that we understand how God created us and not just be like, well, we're just going to pray for you and send you on your way, Sean. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Come on. I want my money's worth when I meet with a psychologist or a therapist. Amen. So. I mean, we're not paying you. You know that, right?
Right. Okay. Yes, I know that.
I just wanted to get... I mean, we're a campus, It's not like... Jeez. All right. Well, I should have got that out on the table in private, but... all right. So we hear these questions all the time. You know what I mean? As pastors, we have a lot of exposure to a lot of different people. And post-COVID, especially post-COVID, there's a lot of like this, who am I? What am I? What am I doing? And you see people questioning their careers. You see people questioning their marriages. You see people questioning their relationships, questioning themselves, right? And I guess as pastors, our heart and desire is to point people to Jesus, to help, not to fix, but to be a part of that journey. But I am asking this question, what the heck is happening, Sean? See, now you hear a smart guy. He'll say some really smart things. But that's my question. What is happening?
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I think to best answer this, we have to understand where we were at coming into the pandemic.
Oh, boy. We got to go there.
Yeah. We got to go there.
Okay.
And so, when I'm looking for secret knowledge, I do what you do, and I go to Google.
Yeah. Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? My research professor would be so disappointed. So I went on and I started looking kind of at the state of relationships and where we were at. And some interesting facts that I found was we are the wealthiest country on the planet.
Right.
However, in 2020, the global report on happiness ranked our country 19th.
Jeez.
Since the 1950s, the size of our homes has steadily increased, while yet the report of quality relationships has steadily decreased.
Oh,
yep.
Wow.
I meet with people all the time who report hundreds, if not thousands, of friends on social media.
Right.
And report severe feelings of loneliness and isolation.
Right, right.
We were taking a look at 2016, and it said that in 2016, the population of the U.S. was just north of 323 million. But in that year, Americans filled 4.5 billion prescriptions.
Oh, my gosh.
We represent 4.2%, 25% of the population globally, but consumed 80% of the world's painkillers.
Oh, man. Yeah, and you guys, I'm sure you've heard that on the news. Just turn on the news and see what's going on, man. Jeez.
2018, heroin overdoses reached such a proportion that they were deemed an epidemic and required federal funding to educate and employ more addiction counselors.
Jesus. Wow.
In her TED Talk, The Power of Vulnerability, Brené Brown says that we are the most in debt, obese, medicated, and addicted adult cohort in U.S. history.
My God. Wow.
We have become masters at distracting and avoiding.
Yeah, right. I see that.
And so when we look at what happened in 2020, it exposed all of that.
Yeah.
It exposed all that. And what 2020 really became was a stress test on our relationship with self, others, and with God.
Wow, man. Just call it what it is. Jeez. That is powerful. I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry. I just feel really vulnerable right now. I'm like, wow, this guy just read my mail.
Right.
Like,
well, and you and Heidi were talking about this, and Ashley and I go through this as well. Like, this year has been a test on our marriage.
Yeah,
I have
yeah.
people tell me all the time, like, you must have the best marriage.
Your marriage counselor, it's perfect. Yeah.
And I think in some ways, like, what we know helps us, but in other ways, we just have sharper swords to swing at one another, right? Like,
yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The problem is, like, when I'm fighting with my wife, I'm also fighting with myself because I know in real time, like, I'm blowing it. Like, you're damaging intimacy. Like, this will take weeks to restore. Like, and I just keep doing it. Like, it doesn't stop me from in the moment having, like, a compelling argument.
Doesn't,
you know what I mean?
Inside voice sound like my, you're damaging intimacy. I love it.
Right.
We're a lot alike. It's funny. So we sit down, like when we go out to coffee and stuff, it's like, I don't even know what it's like, but we don't even have to talk. We just stare at each other and laugh. And we just laugh. At each other. I mean, so it's like, I feel like Heidi said it. It's like the enemy of our soul. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's this enemy of our soul. That's like the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like the drugs. It's not just COVID or the pandemic, but like people are hurting in here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And not just what's happening to them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's aftermath to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure as counselors, you know, you see as therapists, you see this aftermath, right? Like, what is it doing to people beyond just drugs and coping mechanisms and things like that? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing, and my wife is also a counselor and is seeing this as well too. I mean, people are really struggling. I mean, really what we're looking at is a crisis of connection.
Mm.
Like, people are feeling largely disconnected.
Wow.
And, you know, and like I said, the pandemic really slowed things down. It took people's ability to distract and avoid away, like the things that we were doing to numb. And here we were locked in a home together with ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And so I was thinking about like how to best go about this, and really to give a bird's eye view of what we're talking about before we can understand, you know, how impacting disconnection is for us. We really have to understand that we're created for connection.
Yeah.
And so a large part of my graduate work was really about exploring relationship through scriptural texts. And understanding how God created us to be in relationship. And so whenever you're wanting to understand something in the Bible, you really need to go to where it's first mentioned, learn everything you can about that, because that will translate, the heart of it will translate throughout the rest of the text.
Right.
And so I went back and I looked at when God created Adam.
Yeah.
And he created him from the dust of the earth. And Adam was created as a three-part being, as all of us are.
Yeah.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Yeah.
And so we understand that our soul is comprised of our mind, our will, and our emotions.
Right.
And it's important, because I love what you guys were saying, it's important to know that the Bible identifies Satan specifically as the enemy of our soul.
Yeah, right.
He is the enemy of our soul. And so we can't just understand like how we think, we can't just understand how we feel, and we can't just understand how we act, because all three of those are interconnected. And we have to look at them all as one.
That's good.
Now, a lot of people have talked about spirit, soul, and body.
Right.
But there's a fourth component that really matters, and it's not always talked about.
Don't tell me there's more, Sean.
There is
more. I'm just trying to get my crap together with the spirit, soul, body thing.
There is more.
It's like the sixth sense coming out right here.
Yeah, there's this moment where God looks at Adam and he says, he's alone and it's not good. Like, this is proof that we can't just go to a desert island with our Bible.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? He says it's not good. And there's this moment in Genesis where it like almost becomes a tragic comedy, because God is walking all of the animals across Adam's path to see if there's a suitable mate. Like, do you imagine when the giraffe goes by? Adam's like, no. Right? No. So there's no... there's no...
There's gotta be more.
Yeah, yeah. Adam's like, Lord, we have to figure something else out. And God's answer to that was to create Eve.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the thing that it says about Eve is that Eve was a helper.
Yeah.
And the word helper in the Greek is parakletos. And what it means is advocate, comforter, counselor.
Yeah, wow.
I've done some marriage work around the interpretation of this scripture.
Yeah.
It's the same connotation used for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's the same connotation used for the Holy Spirit and used for God.
Oh, it's so good, man.
We see, like, if we zoom out, we understand that we're created for connection with God. We're created for connection with one another so that we can experience God in a supernatural way, but we can also experience God's love in a natural setting.
Yeah, come on.
Now, if we zoom out beyond the marriage covenant, we also see that connection matters to every single person.
Yeah.
At the end of Exodus and again at Deuteronomy, God gives a moral imperative to the Israelites, and he says, you're to take care of the widow, the orphan, and the stranger.
Right.
And I was really looking at this, and I'm like, what do they have in common? And they're alone.
Yeah,
they don't have support, right? That's like good. even with Abraham, he's like, your blessings are for other people. People who bless you, I'm going to bless. He continues to develop this support system for us to do life with.
Yeah, yeah.
This connection to other people and to God is so important that the enemy's first attack was on the marriage covenant.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so he comes in, and notice this. His attack is an attack on the soul. He comes at the mind of Eve, and he says, the only reason God doesn't want you to eat from that tree is because then you will know the difference between good and evil, and you will be like God. Mm. She missed it, because the truth of the matter is, a few verses before that, it says they were created in his image likeness.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He was selling them something they already owned.
Right. Wow.
And for the purposes of separation, and so Heidi, you were talking about like how this the shame works, right?
Yeah.
And so immediately after the fall, they are aware of what they did, and they feel this immense shame. And Brené Brown, who I absolutely love, she spent her entire career working on shame. And the working definition that she came up with is that shame is the fear of being unworthy of connection.
Yeah.
And it promotes isolation from self, from others, and from God. Yeah. We can even hide from ourselves, which we do in our addictions and in attempts to numb things.
Right.
So did you have something you were going to say, Heidi?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So we were looking at science is now catching up.
Yeah. Right.
Like the Bible has been giving us this wisdom for thousands of years, and science is finally just catching up and thinking they're having some new ideas here.
Yeah, right.
But we now know that we are created for connection by observing our physiological response to other people.
Yeah, right.
And so in the 1990s, Italian researchers discovered mirror neurons, which is our way of connecting with other people.
Okay.
That's why we cry at the end of movies.
I got a lot of neurons then.
I'm telling you. No, like when I got saved, I didn't realize I was going to become a sap at the end of like every movie that's like hopeful or inspirational. Yeah. My wife just completely makes fun of me every time. She like looks over and I'm trying to like resist.
Dude, I was crying at the end of Dirty Dancing. The time of my life. No one puts baby in a corner. No one. Seriously, I cry. I'm a crier.
Right. And so we have thousands of studies done on bonding.
Yeah.
And what we know is that when we are connected to other people in loving ways that reinforce we're going to be okay no matter what, our cardiovascular health is better.
Yeah. Wow.
Our immune system is improved.
Yeah.
Our ability to manage difficult emotions improves. Mm. Our ability to harness stress and use it as motivation to push forward also improves.
It makes perfect sense. Like, I think of when we haven't been on a date in a long time.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, why is everything bad in life?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like, right. Well, maybe we haven't had that connection, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think about that even like within my own life, like the more stressful my day is, the more I think about my wife.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right. Like, and because of the nature of the work that we do, we don't get to often share with each other what's happening.
Yeah.
Like everything's confidential, right?
Right.
So everything's HIPAA protected. So I'll call her at times and just her voice, like, I don't have anything to say. I just need to hear her voice.
Yeah.
Right. And then also knowing that connection with God, right? Like, He's never let me down. Like when things get really tough, like that's what comes into my mind. He's never let you down.
Yeah, right.
He's never let you down.
Yeah.
Connection is so important that God sent his only son to die so that he could reconcile connection with us.
Yes. Yeah, it's true, man.
That connection.
Ooh, that's so good. Yeah, and all I asked him was, what the heck is going on?
Oh,
this
I know.
Is so good. I love it.
What about... I think so many of us don't even know what connection is or how to connect to the Lord because we've had bad experiences with relationships in our lives.
Right.
So how can we be helped?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody feel that? Like your examples of connection probably weren't good examples of connection? Anybody?
And so then it's harder to connect with the Lord, or you don't understand when somebody's saying, God wants to connect with you. Well, you're like, I don't even know what connection is.
Yeah,
absolutely. There was research that was conducted in 2007 by Dr. Edward Tronick, who is the head of the Child Development Unit in Harvard University. And he did something called the Still Face Experiment. If you haven't seen this, it's heartbreaking. I'm just going to warn you up front. It's 2.5 minutes of heartache. What he did was he had a mother come in with her newborn baby, and what she was doing originally was she was connecting with the baby. And so if the child would point, the mother would look. She was smiling. She was engaged. Her hand movements were mirroring that. And then what they did was they had the mother turn away and then return to the baby, but she had to have a still face. She could not connect with the child in any way other than with eye contact. And very quickly, you can see the child's physiology change.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The child starts to reach for mom. Mm. The child is pointing. Like, this worked before. Like, look, mom, remember?
Wow.
Mom doesn't look, doesn't engage. The child starts to screech very loudly. Their face gets flushed red.
Right.
The posture changes. They can't compose themselves. And the child is reaching for mom. And then they allow the child to return back to the child and reengage.
Yeah.
And very quickly, the relationship is restored.
Wow.
But it shows us what happens when we experience disconnection. Mm. One of the things that is absolutely fascinating, they've done some MRI scans with people. And what we have found is that emotional disconnection from a loved one is located in the same part of our brain and codes in the same way as physical pain.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
We are unable to distinguish the difference between emotional disconnection and physical pain. Now, if we go back and we look at some of those statistics we were talking about earlier with the opiates, whether it was heroin, whether it was painkillers, target the neurotransmitter endorphins. Endorphins are largely connected to a feeling of well-being and love.
Right, yeah, right. Jeez.
Well-being and love. And so we know that there are people who try opiates for the first time and they say it felt like a warm hug.
Wow.
And so in this world where we're feeling largely disconnected,
yeah.
we know that people are looking for ways to medicate that so that they can feel better.
Sure. Makes sense.
I think about, like, you know, what happens when people are experiencing that disconnection. There can be this anxiety response over a long period of time. And I'm just going to briefly go into this. What happens in our brains when we're experiencing anxiety, And anxious response is actually a God-given response for protection.
Yeah, right.
Right? So like it's housed in our limbic system, which is responsible for fear and for anger. So in our prefrontal cortex, that's where like our judgment, our decision-making, morality, like our empathy, all of that is up there.
Teenagers don't have that part of their brain, right?
Not completely, no.
Okay.
No, that doesn't come until they're 25.
Okay, right, I was right, just right.
It's starting. It's starting.
It's starting.
And so when the brain, that limbic system has something called an amygdala, which is your alarm bell. Yeah. And whenever it goes off, it says you're not safe, and it sends a signal to the survival instincts in your brainstem, which triggers a flood of stress hormones such as norepinephrine, epinephrine, and cortisol. And so that prepares like a fight or flight response.
Yeah, right.
It changes your body, okay?
Yeah, all right.
And so we think about this, right, in context of scripture, when Jesus is praying in the garden before the crucifixion, mm-hmm. right, it says that he was sweating something like drops of blood,
right,
which is an actual medical condition where capillaries bust right underneath the skin and it can allow blood to come out from extreme emotional distress. But understanding how painful emotional disconnection is, I don't think Jesus' biggest fear was the physical torture he was about to go through.
That's a good point, man. Jeez.
Because there's a moment on the cross where Jesus says, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
And the word forsaken simply means to turn away from, because in that moment, Jesus became the sin of the world so that we could have his righteousness. And in that moment, God had to turn away from him so he never had to turn away from us again.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is in excruciating pain because of the disconnection from his heavenly Father.
Wow, that's a good point. I've never thought about that.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's why people cut, because the physical pain hurts less than the emotional pain, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a way to distract themselves from the emotional pain that they're experiencing in that moment.
Yeah, because you don't think about Jesus saying, oh man, my wrists are just,
right.
You know, all the things that any other human would be focusing on at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeez. Wow.
Absolutely.
That's powerful, man.
Yeah, and so when we have repeated negative experiences over a long period of time, our brain starts to respond to that by looking for anything that resembles that possible threat of connection.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, is this where that, you were talking to me about like attachment theory and things like that, which is so far beyond me, but is that, I mean, talk to me about attachment theory.
Yeah. So I want to give a disclaimer. First thing, what a theory is and what it is not. Theory is not divine text.
Right.
It's created by man,
which
means it has limitations and at some point starts to fall apart, right?
That's a good point.
So it doesn't represent absolute truth like scripture does. But here's what it does do is it takes a frame and puts it around an issue and allows us to understand it better so that we can work more efficiently within that issue.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing that I want to say is, you know, what we're talking about, can possibly be bringing up some difficult emotions. We hope that this is meaningful for you.
Yeah.
We want this to be a language that sets you free and removes any kind of shame or feelings like I'm broken in some way. But we also know that this can sometimes bring up big emotions. And so after service, Pastor Baltimore, Pastor Trina, and my wife are going to be up front here, okay?
Yeah.
If something comes up for you, come talk to us.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that you feel safe when you leave.
Yeah, that's good.
If you're coming up to share your story, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just actually give you our phone number and ask you to give us a call this week for that. And the reason is because we want to have the time and the privacy to honor your story.
That's good.
So after service, it's going to be, if you're having a hard time, we want you to come up and we want you to talk to us.
And hey, man, I just want to say, I mean, that's one reason why I love Sean and Ashley. And I'm thankful for Living Word and our care and counseling department, because like, this is the heart of it. Amen. And this is the importance of having connection, not, you know, with this family that God has put us in. So thank you for that. I mean, that's huge.
Absolutely.
That's huge.
Absolutely.
Man. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So yeah, when I was doing my work as an LADC, licensed alcohol and drug counselor, we knew very quickly that not only did we have to help people get off of alcohol and drugs, but it wasn't going to be as much about what they stopped doing as much as it was about what they started doing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? So we had to help heal relationship. We had to connect them with new people. We had to help heal the relationship with God. I love the work that I get to do. I am simply like a transitional attachment figure as I hand people off to God. I just love on them until they're ready to go, okay, God, I'm ready to receive this from you.
Love it.
And so So as an alcohol and drug counselor, I was realizing that some people were really able to grab hold of God's love and forgiveness, and other people was struggling with it. Mm. And it was heartbreaking for me because there was so much shame that came on them.
Sure.
And so I wanted to know more about this. I wanted to know, why is this happening, so I could better help them. And I think attachment theory offers some answers for this. So there's really one thing that attachment theory is interested in asking and answering. Am I safe and okay when I reach for another person? And based on our repeated experiences, we will go into what's either known as an insecure attachment or a secure attachment. And the insecure attachment, I'm going to spend just a moment talking about those first. The first one is an anxious attachment. It's caused from either primary caregivers or primary relationships throughout the lifespan being inconsistent. So not showing up. And, you know, as we saw in that still face experience, the mother not showing up. Now, immediately, as soon as we start talking about this, everybody starts going, oh my gosh, did I damage my children? What did I?
yes, I did. Thanks for asking.
So this is a good enough job, right? Like, it's good enough parenting. It's a batting average. Like, we want to do better most of the time, but nobody is going to do this perfectly.
Keep talking about this, Sean.
And so what we see with the anxious attachment, some of the implications that it has on relationships is that the person does not know whether or not people are going to show up to meet their needs. And so it can show up as people who are reaching for other people, but they might struggle with jealousy.
Right.
Or they might struggle with control issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to control everything that you do so that there's no chance of me being rejected. Because while they want strong connections, their radar is looking for anything that looks like it, or possibility of rejection, and they may act on that.
Yeah.
There's been research that correlates faith beliefs with attachment styles. One of the things that we can see show up is they may question whether or not God loves them the same way he loves other people, whether or not God's going to answer their prayers, and they sometimes report feeling really disconnected from God.
Yeah, right.
The second attachment, the insecure attachment, is avoidant. The cause of this is from a primary caregiver or close relationships throughout the lifespan where the person is not emotionally available or not attuned to the person's needs.
Wow.
And so some of the implications of this is people will, because of the pain of emotional detachment at a very early age, they will convince themselves they don't need people.
Wow.
They don't need emotions.
Right. That's the I can go to the island by myself.
I can go to the island by myself. Emotions are for weak people.
Wow.
Right? Like,
wow.
I don't need to feel or be connected to people in any way.
Yeah.
This will show up as self-sabotage in relationships. When people start to get too close, we will do things that self-destruct the relationship.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
And some of the faith beliefs around this is that they may not believe in God at all. Or they believe that there is a God, but he doesn't care about them. Or that God is a punishing God.
Right, wow.
And so there's a third one, and I'm not going to go into that one. It's called disorganized attachment, and it's a mix of both. But I'm not going to go into that right now. I want to talk now about a secure attachment.
Yeah,
right.
Come on. All right.
And this attachment theory was created by John Bowlby and then later revised by Mary Ainsworth. And John Bowlby's wife asked him. She said, "Why didn't you call this what it is?" He says, "Well, I'm trying to prove at Cambridge University that we can quantify love. So if I would have called it love theory, they would have laughed me out of the campus."
Right.
So this is really the science of love.
Okay. All right.
And so the secure attachment comes by three things, and it's accessibility, responsiveness, and engagement.
Okay.
I mean, can you think about anybody who meets that definition better than Jesus does?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Like, he died so that we could have connection with him.
Right.
Accessibility.
Yeah, he's accessible. Right.
Hundreds of scriptures tell us to seek our needs through prayer, and that our blessings will come through other people.
Yeah,
there is a responsiveness there.
Yeah, right.
Engagement. God knew us before we were in our mother's womb and knows every single hair on the tip of our head.
Yeah, right. Wow.
So we have some science to show like how this really plays out. They did research where they asked married women to go into an MRI, and what they would do is they would show an X. And after that X, sometimes they would receive an electric shock. Some of those electric shocks were on their ankles. What they did was they had her hold a stranger's hand, hold nobody's hand, and then hold her husband's hand.
Wow.
And in the beginning of the research, that limbic system we talked about lit up every time that red X came on.
Wow.
And they reported that the pain on their ankles was excruciating. Then what they did was they took them and they engaged in couples counseling. And they specifically focused on strengthening connection and emotional attunement through the three principles of accessibility, responsiveness, and engagement. They did the experiment again. When they held a stranger's hand, the limbic system still lit up. When they held nobody's hand, the limbic system lit up. When they were holding their husband's hand, the brain didn't respond at all to the red X. And they reported this zap on their ankle was mildly discomforting rather than excruciating painful.
Wow. Wow. Think about that.
So strong, healthy connection to other people has the ability to reduce pain and emotional responses to fear. Now, I want to take a look at this. Now, just I want to lay over a scripture, the lens of attachment theory.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yeah, I will fear no evil, for yeah, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Mm. Theologians largely believe that the rod is a stick that protects the sheep from anybody who might be coming in trying to steal them.
Right.
Right? So it's for protection. And the staff is with that hook on there. It's used to keep the sheep in line and guide them.
Right, right.
And so this verse is saying, because David's saying, because I know that you are going to protect me and that you are guiding me,
yeah,
I will fear no evil. I have a quiet limbic system. Mm. I have a quiet emotional response. Now, attachment theory it says that when children are growing up, what they want to know is they want to know, am I safe? And they do that by checking in with mom and dad.
Yeah.
So this is why your kids, they're going to go out and they're going to play, but then they're going to come back to you and they're going to go, hey, mom, watch me do this. Hey, dad, look at me do this. Look right at me, look at me. They want to know you're still paying attention to them. And the more you're paying attention to them, the safer they feel to go out and explore the world.
Yeah, wow.
Woo. Now watch this.
Jeez.
The Great Commission is what we are all called to do.
Yeah, right.
And as new Christians, Jesus says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father,
yeah,
and of the Son,
right,
and of the Holy Spirit,
right,
and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
Right.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Hmm. See, Jesus is reassuring them,
yeah,
I'm going to send you out, but no matter whether you see me in a physical form, I am going to be with you so you feel safe to explore the world. God gives us comfort so that we can take that and comfort others.
Right.
We are an interconnected network of right faith, and we are God's answer to the crisis of disconnection.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, if you're going to write one thing down, write that down. That is so good.
Yeah.
We've got to wrap this up. Babe, did you have another question?
Nope.
Because, I just want to know what's next.
Yeah.
Like, that's for me, you know what I mean? Like, we're hearing all this incredible, you know, information, proof. It's showing us what's really going on inside of our hearts, our need for connectivity. But it's kind of like, okay, so what next? Now that we've got 7 pages of notes, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
What's next?
Yeah. So the first thing is, the good news is that our brains are plastic, meaning they can be changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Every right single person in this room has the ability to be a brain surgeon.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. All right, man.
Thousands of new neurons are being developed every single day. Mm-hmm. And the experiences that we have and the meanings that we assign to them can reshape how we think about relationship. So I think about, you were talking about last week with perspective, right?
Yeah.
Like, the first thing is changing perspective.
Yeah.
When I first moved into the sober house back in 2010, I didn't have any clothes. I didn't have any relationships intact. I had nothing. If you would have at that moment told me that was where I was going to connect with the Lord. That was the place where my life's work was going to be birthed from.
Yeah, in the pit.
I was going to meet my best friend and the absolute love of my life.
Wow.
And we were going to be able to go do ministry together. I would have told you you were nuts.
Yeah, right.
But it was truth. So we have a choice. We have multiple narratives available to us at any given moment.
Right.
And we talk about 2020 as this perfect storm that came in. But perspective says that the purpose of a storm in nature is to restore balance.
Yeah, right. True.
Yes, yes.
And so this is that stress test that we talk about. And I think we have to really ask ourselves, like, yes, we understand what the enemy took from us. But are we so focused on that we're missing where God showed up?
Mm. Wow, that's powerful.
Are we missing the invitation to change what's happening in our lives?
Mm.
So this is the check the pulse, right? So we get to evaluate our relationships. There might be relationships out there that are not producing good fruit for you. You know they're not great relationships, and it's time to cut loose of those. Mm-hmm. There might be other relationships, such as in a marriage or something that we are committed to, and we know that things are not going well there, and it might be time to contact a pastor. Mm-hmm. It might be time to contact a therapist.
Yeah.
It might be time to start doing the work in those areas.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true.
We need to get connected with our faith community, mm-hmm. right? So here's the thing. When I first started my recovery journey, Pastor Chris Callison told me, he says, I want you to find three people that have what you want, and I want you to get next to them and find out how they got it.
Wow.
If you want to improve your relationships, you need to find healthy people in relationships and see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so this is just validation for the work that you guys are doing here at Northwest, like the connection and the life groups and the growth track and all of these things are really providing a fertile environment for people to come in and grow and get healthy.
Thank you, Lord.
The next thing is that we need to give back, right? So we need to start giving away what we want to keep.
Mm.
All right.
Give back.
This is the one of the number one principles of recovery. And here's the thing, developing secure attachment helps us with that because when we are in emotional distress, we do not have the ability to be others focused.
Yeah. Right.
I want you to think about this. If I walk outside and it's 80 degrees and it's gorgeous outside and there's not a cloud in the sky, if I have a compound fracture and a bone sticking out of my shin, I can never truly appreciate the beauty of the day.
Right. Yeah, right. That was deep.
Right. Yeah. So emotional and physical pain alerts us to the fact that something is wrong so that we take care of it, not that we ignore it.
Right.
And one of the ways that we do that as we experience our healings, we become others focused and we start giving to them.
Yeah.
And developing this secure attachment will help us do this.
That's good. Give to others.
The most important thing is that we obtain and maintain our relationship with God.
Yeah.
Like if we haven't done that, nothing else matters because ultimately he is the source of healing. I mean, I tell people like all the time, like all of my education, it's just tools to help knock down walls between people and God because he's the one that does the healing.
Yeah, right.
And so really relying on him and checking the pulse, like how is my relationship with God today?
Thanks again for joining us this week. We know that God meets us right where we are, no matter where that is. If you want to get plugged into our church community by joining one of our life groups, donate to our cause, or just learn more about the mission here at Northwest, please visit us at lwcc.org/Northwest. You can also text the word CONNECT to 612-688-3939. That's 612-688-3939. 3939. If this message encouraged you, it would probably encourage someone you know. So feel free to share it. We look forward to connecting with you and hope that you'll join us again next week.